God bless you, my children.
God bless you, my son.
Again we meet with love and joy and a divine purpose in our hearts. And this divine purpose easy to do as this wind, as he just so beautifully prayed for you to love one another, as he has loved us. We want for you to understand those words which have been spoken for you tonight. You are the fruit of the vine. You are the seed from which you will grow. The beautiful truth you each have to give in your own way. You are children of God. You are emissaries of his peace and love on earth. And great is your task. And is no matter how great the strain, or how heavy the burden, or how long is the road, or how hazardous the journey, if you are of him, then he is of you, and he will be your strength, and your fortitude, and your inspiration through life. And even if you have to lay down your life because of the strain of the burden, recall again those words. Greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for his brother, or indeed even his sister. You must, if you wish to fulfill your journey through life, commit yourself to God. Embalm yourself with his love and his grace. And dedicate your life to the service of others, that they may taste of the wine. And they will drink of the wine the vine has produced, when they take into their hearts the words of love and truth that you will impart, one way or another. And I know you will question yourselves, and you will say among yourselves, what is my purpose? What could I possibly have to give? The ability to give a quiet word of encouragement and blessing is a gift. The ability to just be there and to comfort and console is a gift. The ability to listen and to say nothing, just to listen, is a gift. The ability to outstretch a hand of friendship and do it with love is an almighty gift. Ask yourselves again, what can I give? What am I that I can do these things? You are a child of a God. And as I have said, you are an emissary of his peace and love. Go forth and they multiply, say the Lord. I say to you, we go forth and take these words of Imazello, share them with your fellow men, for they have been laid in silence far too long, and now they must begin to be heard. Now they must be seen. Now they must be put in the pages of your book and into the ears of those who can only hear. Take these words now and let your fellow men come to know them and understand them. The time is now. Give forth your fruit, serve out your wine, and love all men. There will be those who will ridicule you. There will be those who will even condemn you. And they will chastise you. I will say to you, many there will be who will love you for those things you do and they say. Many will come to you and ask a blessing upon themselves of you, because they will know and understand you are children of the Father. You are one of his hosts upon earth, and you will join the ranks of many who have served his name upon this earth. And the Father will love you and will turn not aside from you. He will take your hand and he softly lead you and he strengthen you in mind, body and spirit. And you will find also, just as his disciples discovered, when Christ said to them, as I have done, greater things shall ye do also in my name. You will also find, all of a sudden, that you will have the words on your lips. You will have healing hands with which to hold those who suffer. And you will have a mind filled with wisdom and love. For the Father moves in this way. But first of all, he must see the movement from his children. He must see them go out among the multitudes and prove themselves with endeavor, with love. For love is service. And to serve him is to love him, just as he will love you, and just as he will serve you also. Have ye no fear. Have no fear of the morrow, nor yet with what the morrow may bring. He ceased to went. I walked with you in the Capella Sistine. And I touched your shoulder once or twice as you gazed at all this magnificence around you. All these masterpieces. How many brush strokes were there to complete this? How many pains taking hours in order that it would be fulfilled? Not just by Buonarroti Simone, but by all the many other artists who gave of their love, of Viti Vinici, of Raffaele, of Bramante, of Donatello. All of these, at the beginning of their work, considered themselves to be useless. They would say of themselves, but I cannot do this type of thing. I cannot create a magnificence that man would gaze upon for all time. This is not for my hands. I am not capable. But the Father spoke within them, and he moved them. He moved them simply by filling them with inspiration and love. And even though they did not understand this at the time, all of them in their later years came to know their God in such a way no one can attain to. And yet these were the main who condemned themselves and ridiculed themselves and had no faith in the beauty within their hands until the Lord removed within them. And have I not said to all of you, you are as an artist, for you are the painter of your own creation. You are the sculptor of your own magnificence on earth. Have I not spoken to you of the block, of likening your life to a block of karat, and chipping away at this block of life until you have created something of great beauty within it, so that once what was a great ugly block is now something man can admire and dream of and love and adore for the rest of time, until this block crumbles, and it never will. I am giving you this opportunity now to open your eyes to the reality of your own spiritual being. Look within yourself, and instead of criticizing yourselves and doubting yourselves, get on with the job. Pick up the tools of your trade, of your craft, and begin for the rest of your life to create this masterpiece, which is the true you. Go forth and create your work of art, just as those old masters did of long ago. And when Christ said to his disciples, go forth and do my work, obey my will, go into the multitudes and heal, preach, philosophize, tell them all that is within your heart, and be not afraid, for I am with you. And still they found it so hard, so difficult, until they were confronted with a moment in their life when they had no choice, for God in his love and wisdom took away from them the Master Christ. And so if his work was to live on, they were the only vehicles through which it could live. And so Christian faith came into its own, because there was no Master Christ in the body, although he remained in the spirit. And they could not see him, only in their mind's eye. Only when they closed their eyes and recalled the beauty of his face, the gentleness of his hands, the softness of his words, the unending energy which he gave to those who suffered, the abundance of love through which he healed. Only when they closed their eyes and visualized this within themselves, and knowing that they themselves had spoken the Wheezy's mouth, did they realize that if he was to live on, he could only live on through the words and deeds of their hearts. And this continues even today. And you are the disciples, each and every one of you. And don't say among yourselves, when Marcello has gone, oh, he has made me feel so inadequate. I have not. I don't want you to feel inadequate. I want you to feel strong and capable of doing these things. You can do these things because I have told you so. And I am telling you so because I know in my heart what lies in your heart. I know of the fear you have within yourselves, the self-consciousness you have, the doubt you have of your own ability to speak of the love of God. Just tell them what you feel. Tell them what you see. Tell them what you hear. Tell them what your spirit is crying out to tell them. You are indeed a true vine, each and every one of you. Go forth and bear your fruit, and others may feed from it, and drink from it, and be filled with the love of God. And when you doubt again, recall again those of you who have seen it, this great masterpiece done by a man who believed he could not until God moved within him and drove him almost to despair, almost to a point where he would throw his things on the floor and say, I want no more of this. I cannot do it. But God, through Philip, spoke to him, told him, you must. When will it be done? Is all he would answer him. When Buonarroti would say to him, when will you pay me? And Philip would say to him, when will you finish? How long will it be before you are done? And in this wise, he was driven through what you know now as the agony of his own doubt into the ecstasy of his own realization of the power of God within him when he stood among the crowds and he looked up and saw for himself the magnificence of his own hand and heart. Even to this day, if you were to say to Buonarroti, you are a great painter, he would say, this may be, but God was the artist. Because he knew that he was only a tool in the hand of God. And so also are you an implement of Christ, an instrument of God. Allow him to be the artist again and be his servant, be his joy, among men, and holding nothing back from your heart, and hold nothing back of your heart. Give it and give it freely. Give it with joy, and keep your grumblings within yourselves. Keep your doubts within yourselves. But do his will. Turn to him and say, Father, here am I. Use me as you will, for I am an instrument of your peace and of your love. And whatever beauty you have to create in the minds of men, let me be one of the instruments you use. Take these things into your hearts. Hold them, caress them, and make it you. Reveal your true self, if not to yourselves, but to your fellow men. And one day, I will promise, you will look back at the span of your life, and as you do so, you will, as did Buonarroti and all these other great masters did before me, hear the voice of God speak softly within, and he say to them, and he say to you, well done, thou true and faithful servant, for you are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Great will be your joy, and humble will be your heart, and long will be your eternal peace, because you will know the peace of God. I have spoken now for a long time, and I hope the words of Marcello will stay in your heart. And I hope those things that you have seen, Sister Wendy and Sister Maria, and those things you are about to see, Sister Francisca, and Brother Christopher, for you are next to take this journey into the world of Marcello, and of Buonarroti, and of Donatello, and Bramante, and Raffaele. You will see these works before you, and you will rejoice in them, and you will see a reflection of yourself, for as they are, so you are also, in your own way. I will not proceed any longer with these. I will give you the opportunity to ask questions of Marcello. Talk with me. I am sure there is many things you could tell Marcello of now, Sister Wendy.
I'm sure you've seen them before, Marcello.
And what of Sister Maria? What would you say with Marcello?
Has it all been some enormous plan that we've never seen an overall view of, that Marcello should come to us? Sort of, I don't know, 25 years ago. I really do get the feeling that the picture's almost complete.
You are quite right, Sister Maria. You are correct in thinking this. Soon the picture will be ready to be unveiled. And you will see for yourselves the fruits of your labours, and answers to so many questions you have not yet asked Marcello, but thought of so many times over these many years, still remaining, drifting around in your consciousness, waiting to be answered to. But they will be answered within your own vision and within your own understanding. This I promise. This is to make you content. You've understood what Marcello is saying to you. And do what of his sister Francisca?
Sister Jacqueline, you mean? No, sir.
Me con el chalo. Do a Marcello, she is a sister Francisca. We have given her her spiritual name.
Bless my child.
Life is full of surprises. And henceforth you will be for Marcello, sister Francisca. You understand this now, my child.
Brother, we understand why you decided to change the names.
There is one child who walks with you, who will never really become close enough at the will of God to be able to speak through you. So, she will overshadow your heart and your aura, and she will overshadow your being. And those of us here in this spirit world know of her as Sister Francis. And so we will name you with a spiritual name after this child who walks with you. In love, and in gentleness, and in serene beauty. All of these are also, Sister Francisca, are a gift. They are a gift given to you, which many will see, and you may never feel. But it is enough to know for you that this child walks with you and inspires many things which are said and done when you sit with your friend in quiet solitude and peace, learning from those who are also learning here. Do you understand now, Sister Francisca?
Thank you, Master.
Bello marante in chisto. We want you to receive this blessing from us for the love you have given me in silent grace.
I accept. Thank you.
May I ask a question actually, about the book? We, or rather myself, Leslie, were talking of the possibility of taking the manuscript to the Christian Spiritualist headquarters in London to see if they would produce the book for us. Would you have any objection to that?
You will make my heart leap with joy, Brother Christie.
Thank you, also.
You do as your heart bids you do, for it is the love of God which is speaking within you. Obey him and fulfill his command. Do what your heart tells you, you must do. But talk among yourselves concerning these things, and get your yea-yeas and nay-nays put in their correct places.
Thank you.
You understand this, Brother Chris?
I do, yes. We haven't discussed it in the group.
It must be done.
You were talking as if this evening is going to be the last evening.
No, is it not? There will be two more occasions. Three more occasions. And then we will recess. Thank you, Brother Christy. You are quicker than they are here. And then we will celebrate the coming of Christ and the love of God all over again. And I look forward to joining with you all one evening in a special occasion to celebrate the birth of Christ in your own way. We will have for you what you will call a mass, a little service of blessing and of joy, your only Christmas celebration with Marcello, and praise be with the brother guest, Saint Michael also.
Marvellous.
I will keep you informed for this, and I will instruct the instrument accordingly. On this occasion, I would have you bring for yourselves one candelabra each, and you will light a flame of the Christ's birth, and celebrate the lighting of his spirit life, and so lighting the darkness which had befallen us. And we will light our way back into the Christian way of understanding and love. Is this, Mike, you content?
Very much so. Maybe,
don't know. Now, what would you ask Marcello? Brother Christie, consider those things I have spoken with you of these nights.
What's meant by the Summerland?
I suppose it's a place where the sun shines. Who speaks of this Summerland?
This was a heading taken from a chapter in the writings of Winifred Moyes, given to her by Zodiac.
Again, Brother Christopher, we must go back to this level of understanding which was abroad at this time, and remember he was using the instrument of a female, and so he was conducting his conversation in this wise. He was using a similar terminology to the female way of thinking. But this is Summerland. Is the land what we have described for you, Brother Christopher, when instrument spoke those words for you, which became known as the pathway to peace? He was describing the Summerland. He was describing the beauteous places. Michello also spoke of these lands when I took you into the gardens of acceptance. Do you recall?
Yes,
I do. Maybe. This was their terminology at this time, describing these places. Michello walked within with you, and the way instrument took you on his journey along this pathway to peace. This is no more nor less than what is described by this chosen child as a Summerland. It appealed to the understanding of that time, more so than perhaps it would today. Today it would be not quite so authentic, if this is the word, correct, Marcello,
yes,
if I'm
right.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But today you would call it some other thing, some other place. I don't know what you would call it today, but I would call it for you the Gardens of Acceptance, wherein those who are ascending into his light walk and rest and remain at peace. Is this my answer for your question?
Yes, thank you, sir.
You wish to look down your piece of paper again?
No, I have one other question.
See, I
don't know whether you'll be able to give me the answer, but did Brother Augustus Emmanuel, in his holy orders on earth, ever frequent town that we're in now.
Tradigastis Emmanuel, frequenti the many monasteries, across the length and the breadth of this country of yours. He would walk to them. He would journey however way he could. And he is not, as you say, for Marcello to know. If he did come here. But I do know that he spent much of his time at the Monte Cassino, where he prayed with St. Benedict himself, because he was among the found monks of the Benedictine order. Is this make a surprise for you?
No.
He was a great compadre, if you wish, a great friend, and a great admirer and love of Saint Benedict. And it was on his behalf that he came to Bayonne in France, and he taught in a temple there, in a monastery, as you would call it, until he chose to go to Mount Sinai, Santo Helenin, a small monastery in his great vast wilderness of a desert. And it was there he was put to death by the hand of his Saracen. One day, Brother Christ, you will be given the opportunity to ask of the Brother Gustus Emmanuel this question himself. He will tell you, I have no doubt, much of his journey and many of the places wherein he trod. Is this the answer for your question?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr.
Who else now will talk with Marcello? No one, eh?
It's not really a question. It's just, when I was in Rome, we went into the Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, and we went into the small chapel next to the
Pietà.
The way I've been brought up, I have, or have had, very little regard for the Catholic faith. And I went into this chapel and I have never felt such a holy place. I just wanted to tell you.
And is this not an object lesson for you, my child?
Well, certainly is, yes.
Not to consider the name of the faith, but the name of its creator. For there he is, in this temple of love, just a part of him, just a tiny part of him, to touch it and warm it and fill it with his love. If you had gone into a barn or into perhaps one of the smaller worksheds in the back of the cappella, you would have felt God just the same, because he is there. But this is a place of homage, and of a great reverence, and of great joy and spiritual awareness. And so it is, your own sensitivity begins to evolve, to expand, and to become even more sensitive, because of which you associate these things. Because this is a place where you know man and the beggar woman alike will go to worship. And your sensitivity heightens to such a degree that you become even more aware of it than you would have done in a shade at the back. Can you see the comparison, Sister Wayne?
Oh yes, I understand. I'm well aware that God is everywhere.
This is a place of magnificence. And this is the place upon which Michelangelo Buonarroti Simony placed his last great crowning glory, his final work of art. When you stand beneath the great altar and you look up into the roof of this great dome, the cappella, that was the last thing Buonarroti did. This was his final work, to place this great cappella on the roof of St. Peter's and finally finish it, having been started so many, many years before. And so it is, the Lord with his love fills this place of homage and of grace. And he has in no mind, no heed of what the man will call himself according to his religious belief. But he has a great love in his heart for any child of any faith to walk is through these great bronze doors of Donatello and enter into his house, no matter what his color, creed, faith or failing, and he will receive them just the same. Is this not a great act of love, Sister Wendy? And I will say for you this, you are a temple, just the same. And if you open your doors and let your fellow beings enter in to the temple of which you are, you will find God is there to receive them and to fulfill you, just as he fulfills St. Peter, just as he fulfilled all those before you who served him with love and peace and became temples of his peace. You are no smaller than this great work of art, Sister Wendy. And each and every one of you are the temple of your own being. Open the doors and let that part of God which is within you receive those who will enter in. There is not one jot of a difference between the temple of your being as East Wayne and the St. Peter's of Rome. You are just the same, and you will serve the same purpose. Open your doors, let them in, and the love of God will receive them. Is this to make you content? So now, who else will talk with Marcello before I leave?
Just one quick question.
Benvenuti.
Stealthy, have a special place in the world of spirit?
I did not hear what you firstly said, Sister Marie.
Does Delphi seems to be a special place on earth, but I wondered if it was special in spirit.
Delphi is a holy place. It has its place upon earth. And it has a place because it was sanctified by God in the times before Christ, when there were other prophets upon these plains, seeking to fulfill the love of God and to bring his work here onto these plains. And though a man has forgotten the historic values of this, and the religious connotations of this. Is this the right word, Brother Chris?
Yes, it is, Mr.
See, I am troubled with this.
You're doing very well, actually.
That they have a lost sight of its true worth. But it is a solemn place in the eyes of God, for the Father never forgets. And he is mindful of all those children who toiled so hard to make this truth to become known. It is a place which is now blessed because of the love of God with great healing meanings, and is a place of great spiritual value to man's understanding. And it is a place, a very sensitive place, where those who worshipped in the centuries gone by knew that they could feel the power of God and that they could perform unto his children the miracles of healing and fulfillment. And there is among them also great philosophers who stood among these children and taught them accordingly. And these teachings still remain, Sister Marie. And if you have stood in the center of its temples, in the center of its great ring, then you will have been truly blessed. For you have stood upon a spot where many were healed, and many philosophized, and many a truth was given. You understand this, Sister Marie?
Yes.
And you have stood in this place?
Yes, I was there.
Life is for you full of surprises. Go again, and remember the words of Marcello, for Pluto stood in this spot. You understand this?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great philosopher of life, and a great lover of life, and a great translator of many, many of the great works which were before him. And it is because of the works of Pluto that man has the understandings of many things of today he would not have had otherwise. You understand this, my child? He was also shared this place with Socrates. They were all great masters who revelled in this beautiful place of God. Did this make you content now, my child? And so it is. We must take our leave of you once again. I want you to remember so much all those things we have done for you and said for you, and place them in your hearts, sometimes seemingly forgotten, but in a moment of inspiration revived. They will always be there for you, if only you will be still and recount, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek within your heart, and you will find. Knock, and all will be opened for you. Become the artist. Become as a sculptor, but never be a doubter. Believe in him as he believes in you, and let the fruit of your being flow forth. without fear, so that others may rejoice in the love and beauty of your actions and of your words and of your healing love. God bless you.
God bless you, Lord.
Shall we join in now with we the talking of we the upper body? E upper body. With joy and love in our hearts, we have come before thee, seeking true enlightenment and the inspiration and the cause. Come upon these children of Father, and be the light and the guide and the counsel through these stormy pathways of life. Be the shelter from the storm. Be the strength in the moments of fear. Be the resolve in the moments of doubt and anticipation, and be the essence of the faith and of their labors, enriching them, enlightening them, enfold them. Uphold them, O Lord, that they may serve thee as they seek to do. And blessed be thy name in them, and blessed be their name in you, O God. And as of him shall, O Father, I am a servant of your chosen brotherhood, for which I am eternally blessed. And in these things, O Lord, I am eternally humbled before thy sight. Receiving my praise, O Father, for this privilege to serve thy children here on this plane, and may I continue in your love to do so yet again. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his light to shine upon you and in your hearts and in your homes. May the Lord be in your hands and in your speaking and in your mind. And may the Lord be ever upon you. When those who suffer come before you, they may receive of you the love of God, according to the teachings of Christ Jesus, the Saviour of mankind, and the one true Son of God. God be with you. God bless you, God keep you, and God enfold you in his arms for this day and even forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go in peace and love, and serve him according to your will. In Christ Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you, my children. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in grace. Amen.
Good question.